Mizmor Yud Gimel is the Mizmor about the Da. It's a very short Mizmor. Maybe we can do the whole thing today in one shot. It's about the Dalid Malchios. Okay, Rav Machol, from Machol to Kav. Machol, this is something his expertise. Let's read Lamatzech Mizmor to David. Let's you know, since it's a short Mizmor, let's run through all the Pesukim of the Pshat, and then we'll come back and we'll do the whole Mizmor in one shot because it's very, very short. Lamatzech for the conductor Mizmor to David. Okay, generally, you know, whenever it says Mizmor to David, Mizmor, there are two, sometimes it says L'David Mizmor, and sometimes it says Mizmor L'David. Oh, look who's here from Eretz Yisrael, Meir Appeldorf. Look who's here from the Holy Land. Meir Appeldorf from the Holy Land is logging in. Let's see what it looks like out there. Let's see the beautiful sky. Oh, there he is. There he is in the Holy Land. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Okay, let's see. We'll get a report. Oh, look at that. Look at that view. Look at that view from Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, very nice view.
Wow, look at that. Oh, Rav Chol is here, Baruch Hashem. I was getting Rav Chol come over here and in the room. Because this is the Mizmor of the Dalet Malchus. We're just talking about Rav Chol. This
the
Mizmor of the Dalet Malchus. Yeah, it's in the Sefer? Oh, we got to read the Sefer. I got to go review. Okay, may I give us a report in a few moments? Let's just get to learn something first. Mizmor of David, sometimes it says Mizmor before the word David, sometimes it says L'David.
Where is it?
Mizmor Yud Gimel. Mizmor Yud Gimel, 13. Whenever it says the word Mizmor first, it means that David first started to play music, and he was inspired, and that inspiration led to Ruach HaKodesh. And sometimes it's just the opposite. It's L'David. David first had Ruach HaKodesh, and that Ruach HaKodesh inspired him to conduct, to compose a melody. So it goes both ways. Mizmor is first, V'hoya kinagin ha-minagin v'atihi alav Ruach Hashem. You're playing music, you're enjoying the most delicate, most edela form of gashmis. Rav Chutna would say, this is what they say in his name, that music is the most edel. What's a good translation for the word edel? The most refined form of gashmis. In the olam hagashmi, there's food, there are the five things a person enjoys. I mean, there's food, there's drink. Eat, you can drink, a person can bathe, can smear his body with oil, all different types of forms. You can go look at something, you look at art, go to the museum, and you can look at beautiful portraits, beautiful talents in the vision. You can go look at Yerushalayim HaKodesh, look at the beautiful sightseeing. And then there's smell, people enjoy fragrances, everyone has their niche. Everyone enjoys things. But he would say that the most edel of the Olam HaGashmi is music. Music is a davar gashmi, something which you play musical instruments, you produce sound waves, which is appealing to our ears. And from all the different things that you have in this world of gashmis, the most refined is music. And that's why music is very much associated with Ruach HaKodesh. Sometimes David says by Shaul, when Shaul was depressed, when Shaul was down, V'hoya kinagin ha-minagin v'atehi alav Ruach Hashem. He would play musical instruments and that would uplift his spirits to the degree where it would bring him to Ruach HaKodesh. On the other hand, sometimes it's just the opposite. A person is overcome with Ruach HaKodesh and that inspires him to compose a melody. Goes both ways. I've got Abba Sprott. Many of the melodies that Abba Sprott plays on Regesh were composed by, I don't remember his name. I forgot his name. Anyone remember his name? No, not Avi Rottenberg, no. Maybe he'll come to me soon. There's a very famous person. How did he compose his melody? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi HaShoreis. Malachi Elyon, how did he compose his Nigunim? In the Beis Medrash. He was actually sitting and learning the Beis Medrash, And as he's learning through the... No, not over me. Dovul, not over. So someone else. I'm not into the music world. Mishpacha magazine every week has this column. I can't for the life of me get a whole 2 pages devoted to these, like, you know, celebrity Jewish celebrities and their music and melody. To me, it's like, wow, this whole industry out there just mamish devoted. They speak, they write through the names and melodies. And I don't even recognize one word that it says there. But in any event, he's sitting and learning the Beis Medrash, and as he's learning the sugya and he's delving into it very deeply, he's uplifted. And in his inspiration, it just comes to him. These melodies. And he has a tape recorder, and he right away starts singing melody into the tape recorder. That's called Lidovid Mizmor. Ruach HaKodesh comes upon a person, and through the Ruach HaKodesh, inspiration leads a person to compose melodies. And then there's the other way around, where a person is not composing anymore. A person is just playing music. He's listening to some enjoyable music, which appeals to everyone. Everyone enjoys different types of music. And that uplifts him, and he's overcome with divine inspiration, which he has revelations and in insights that otherwise he would never come to. So this is just a general rule in the entire Tehillim. I think it's the first time we have such a short pasuk, Lam Natzeach, for the conductor. This is a melody that came about through the form of Mizmar. I was listening to music, and as I was listening to music, Lidovid, I was inspired to Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so
now... You know what Karl Lebach used to say? That music is a safa shel neshama.
The language
it's
of the neshama. Yeah.
Yes, what he said, Shlomo.
It's an incredible, it's a gift. Music probably more than anything else.
Yeah.
It's Ruach HaKodesh. I marvel that people have this ability to compose melodies. It's just mind-boggling. Baruch Levine, he composed this beautiful melody about children. I was listening to the melody. It's just so powerful. And how are these people zoicha merit to it just comes to them, this and these incredible melodies. It's something you really feel is spiritual. Yeah, Mr. Cohen.
I just want to say something. I remember that when you spoke about the song, you mentioned about one particular song.
Yeah.
That you felt was directly Buddha Shakodesh.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the name of the song.
There are many songs.
Remember you mentioned also that there's a certain person that when he would learn, he would write things down because he would be
that's
inspired.
Right, that's what I just said, right. That's what you just said, exactly.
Well, you mentioned, I think, the person, okay.
Brazil, I think his name is Brazil. Now the name I remember. Shmuel Brazil. His name is Shmuel Brazil. He's the one that composed these melodies. And he gave them over to, you know, professional singers. A lot of these melodies are like that. A lot of these melodies, people compose, they give it over, they compose them, and they give it over, they sell it to, you know, the big, the famous singers. And then eventually they go on to sing this. I think Rachmil Begun. Rachmil Begun is a very talented person. I remember him from years ago. Extremely talented person. So he never sang, never. When I knew him, he composed. Incredible creativity. Unbelievable, and he never ever sang. He gave it away. He had a choir, and then one day he decided, you know what? Let me try singing. and he asked the kids, "How does it sound? How do I sound?" And he had this, and he didn't want to. He was like embarrassed, but he broke out of his embarrassment, and now every new album that he produces. He's singing, oh boy, he's singing. In fact, he's probably singing the most from them all. But originally, for years, he never, ever sang. He composed, and he gave it over, and then all of a sudden, he came out of his shell. Baruch Levin also. Baruch Levin now is a superstar. He never sang. He composed. And later, only later, did he break out of his shell and began to sing. It's very interesting. Over here you say, Mizmar LeDavid. I'll tell you, Adrush. David was the same thing. Originally, David, he composed. But he didn't want to sing. Only later, LeDavid, David, he broke out of his shell. I also want to be the singer. The vocalist. Okay, that's a very this is a very general thing to look out for. In we learn Tehillim is Mizmar LeDavid, LeDavid Mizmar, and certainly, if you're really fluent in Tehillim, you can probably tell the difference when it's. I mean, I'll give you a challenge. Let's say a person would take the entire Tehillim and you would remove the first pasuk. Remove the first pasuk. Where it says either Mizmar LeDavid or LeDavid Mizmar, and then take the Mizmar LeDavid challenge. Do you remember years ago they had the Pepsi challenge? This probably goes back 100 years ago, the Pepsi challenge. You go into the supermarket and they give you
the
ice bucket challenge, the Pepsi challenge. I give you a challenge. You take a Mizmar and remove the first pasuk and read the Mizmar. Understand what it read the Mefarshim, and then you tell me, is this Mizmar a Mizmar LeDavid, or is it LeDavid Mizmar? Certainly a person that's so fluent in understanding what the Mahalech, the depth of the words, of what it says, can figure out, just from reading what it says in the Mizmar, is this one in the category of first Mizmar and then LeDavid, or is it in the category of LeDavid and then LeMizmar? At any rate, let's go through the book. Adon Hashem, over here, it's the word Adonah four times. Four times does it say the word Adonah. Until when? Today we said it also four times. Isn't it amazing? Adon Hashem, Hashiyana, Adon Hashem, Hashiyana, Adon Hashem, Aslichana, Adon Hashem, Aslichana. You see, HaKol B'Hashkacha, it's not an accident. We're learning this Mizmar today on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Where they have four times the word Adonah. Isn't it amazing, Mark? Four times Adonah on the day that we just said Hallel, four times on Hashem. Adonah Hashem Tishkocheni, Netzach. Adonah, how long will it be Hashem that you will forget me? Netzach forever. Adonah, again we have the Shalshelis. Okay, we have here the Shalshelis again. Not coming up with the Shalshelis. Adonah, Taster es Panacha Mimeni. How long will it be that you will hide your face from me? Number three, Adonah, how long Ashis Eitzos will I set Eitzos Benafshi, Yogon Bilavavi? Now the word Ashis means I. Until now we are describing, the focus was Hashem. Now we're focusing on ourselves. We have to understand this. We'll come to Farshim in a few moments. Adonah Ashis. How long will I set Eitzos B'Nafshi, Yogon B'Levavi Yoimam? How long will I put counsel in my neshama and sorrow in my heart? What does that mean? We'll see in a few moments. By day. And number four, Adono Yorum Oivi Oloi. How long will my enemies prevail over me? Pasuk Dalet. So four on us. We'll come back to that soon. Habita, let's just read the entire Mizmar. Habita, Hashem, look at our suffering. Aneni Hashem Elokai, answer me. Ho'iro Einai, open up my eyes. Pen Ishan Hamaves, I may be overtaken and fall asleep in death. Okay, we have to understand this, but one thing we can certainly see here in this pasuk is that death is associated with sleep. And life is associated with the light of the eye. The eyes are lit up. And we always mention, but we've said many, many times, that when it used to be when a person would die by sneezing. Until Yaakov came along and was in his father, the person should not just sneeze and die. And the reality is, when a person sneezes, it is impossible to keep his eyes open. When a person sneezes, automatically his eyes shut, because that was the moment of death. When a person would sneeze, his neshama left. The same way the neshama went in through the nostrils, the neshama left the nostrils, and when he would sneeze, the eyes close. Closing is death. Ishan hamavis, life is Choira einai, my eyes are open. Pasuk vav, pen yoimar oivi yicholtiv, let it not be said. Pen, let it not be said about my regarding my enemy that they have prevailed and overcome me. Sarai, we have to repeat the words. We will repeat the words of the pen yoimar. May it not be said. Sarai, my enemies, yogilu ki emoit. They rejoice because emoit, I have faltered, I have slipped, I have basically fallen. We'll have to see this again in more detail in Mitsudais.
He's a kasher emoit. When I fall.
They should not say, my enemy should not be happy when I fall. They should not rejoice, yagilu ki, when emoit I fall. Okay, Pasuk Vav, Ani Bechastecha, this is a very famous Pasuk, and I, Bechastecha, in your kindness, Hashem, Vatachti, in your kindness, I have faith, that you are, in your kindness, you will come to my rescue, as this Pasuk goes back to the basic principle of creation. Oilam Chesed Yibone. This is something you should, hang up on the front door of your house. The whole world is all built upon this principle. Judaism is built upon this principle. I don't know about other religions, but in Yadus, this is one of the most fundamental principles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to do chesed with his creatures. Hashem has a need, has a desire to do chesed. And the way Hashem does chesed is he created this world, and he created the neshamas, human beings, and he put these neshamas in this world in order to give them joy, to do with them chesed. And although it does not seem, we don't understand how we see that Hashem has created man to do with man chesed, but we have emuna that this world is one act of kindness, and this world is the prozdar, it's what conditions us to be able to receive the kindness that Hashem desires to bring upon his creation. Oilam Chesed Yibane. Translate the words backwards. The world was created for the purpose of Hashem bestowing kindness upon his creation. Therefore, although we don't see it, I don't see it, there are many people in this world that suffer from the moment they're born until they die. They have daigus, they suffer, they have phobias and all these things that go on in this world. A lot of crazy people out here in this world with a lot of crazy things. So the answer is, you need to have bitachon. And for the moment now, bitachon and amuna will just assume it's the same thing for the sake of simplicity. And therefore, when man sees that everything in this world is really is a really crazy, a nutty world, man must have faith. Va'ani I b'chasticha v'tachti. I have faith in the pasuk of Oilam Chesed Yibane. I have faith in that pasuk. I have faith in your kindness. Yogel Lib Yishua Sech, my heart will rejoice in the future in your salvation. Ashir La Hashem, I will sing to Hashem Ki Gomal Oloi, because he has bestowed his kindness upon me. Okay, every word over here in this mizma obviously is loaded. We have to go step by step. Let's go back and do the Mizmar, and let's first do the Mitzudas. Pasuk Aleph.
That's an important pasuk for me. Basically, that's what my father said before he died. He told me I had a good run, and that's basically, that's what he told me.
Wow, that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay, page 107, if you have the art scroll. 107 at Ono, so therefore the Mizmor starts with the four Onos. Ad Ono, four times Ono, like we said today in Shacharis, Hallel, Ono Hashem four times. We start with the four Onos, and then we're going to see soon that they correspond to the Dalid Malchios chapter. Which chapter is this, Rabbi Chol? Your 60 essays. Which one?
41.
Number 41, Rabbi Chol Miller, the the Sefer, the Dalai Malchios, what's the correct title?
How long?
Sorry?
What? Oh, the chapter is called How Long.
How long?
That's the chapter.
Chapter 41, and the whole Sefer, How Long? At
Ana. By the way, there is a difference between this Ana and Ana of that you mentioned of Allah. Allah is here with the A and over there with an Aleph. Unless, but there is another Anna in Hallel, Anna Hashem Keni Abdecha.
Right.
There is a hey.
I never knew that. I never knew this difference. Wow, I never knew that. You know the famous story?
Look at this, Sidhu.
Very interesting. There's an Aleph.
It means two different things. One is Bani Ono Aniva.
Ono Aniva.
Bani Ono Aniva. You know, I
when?
Where are you? I went here and there and.
Okay, I don't know. Let's see what it says here. Let's see.
Anna with a hey. Anna
with a
hey.
It's like
a hey. It's like a lamed at the beginning. Anna means le'an.
To where?
Right.
Anna. They with a hey. Anna with a hey. It's please.
Please.
I beg of
him. Right.
Okay, but a lot of these words, they're interchangeable. You have the word no. Remember, we have the word not, and we'll always learn in Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi, what does it mean? Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Kach no es bincha es yichidcha asher hafta es yitzchak." What does the word no mean? So either means please. Rashi means a no el loshon bakosha, please. What is the targum consistently? Whenever it says the word no in Chumash, it means now. Kach, take now, ka'an. It means now. It's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus, the simple translation of the word no. Does it mean please, or does it mean now? The car is leaving, the train is leaving, get on the train right now. And there's a very big nafkamina. Nafkamina is that Akedah was Avraham in the category of a mitzvah, the oiseh, to go through with the Akedah. According to Rashi, he was not. According to Rashi, the Akedah was a voluntary action. Hashem said, Avraham Avinu, as honor, as kach, please take Yitzchak. You don't have to. If Avraham, you don't want to do this, I'm not going to hold you responsible. We'll forget about it. It will not be recorded. No one's going to know the difference. But I'm asking you a request. According to Unkelus, there was not a request. He was mitzvah v'yoseh. If he would not have done so, he would have been a failure. There will be consequences. The very big nafkamina, if the Akedah was Avraham begeder mitzuveh v'oiseh or einoi mitzuveh v'oiseh. It all depends on how you translate the word no. And you know, this goes back to the famous law with Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says that on the day when a person will come and tell me that the halacha is like, the halacha is that Gadol, what is greater? Is it greater to be a mitzuveh v'oiseh or is it greater to be einoi mitzuveh v'oiseh? There are different elements, different aspects. Mitzad echad v'inam mitzvah v'yoseh, and I do it anyway, that shows a very great degree of love. Mitzad sheni, you're not as diligent. If a person is not mitzvah v'yoseh, you don't do with the same intensity, the same diligence. Each one has a maila. And halacha l'maisa, the Gemara seems to conclude that it's better to be a mitzvah v'yoseh, if I'm not mistaken. But both of them, each one has its own advantage. And when you go, we look at the Akedah, and we try, our whole life, our whole Yad is all drawn from the Akedah. Everything goes back to the Akedah. On Rosh Hashanah, the whole Nusach HaTzila is all about the Akedah. And it's a fundamental question. Was the Akedah, what Avraham and Yitzchak did, was it in the category of Mitzvah V'yoseh? Or was it in the category of Einoi Mitzvah V'yoseh? And it comes down to a Machlokes, Rashi and Unkelus. Kach no, ein no, ella l'shoin bakosha. Please, if you don't want, you don't have to. Sfasemi says explicitly like this. You didn't have to do it. Or you look like the Targum. No, kach no, take now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. The time has come. I gave you a child, and the purpose of me giving you a child is so you should offer him to me as a sacrifice. You don't have a choice. So, and we who live in the merit of the Akedah, how do we relate to the Akedah? How do we relate? Each dimension has its own, each approach has its own unique dimension. In any event, over here we have, now I never knew this, this is a not with an aleph, a not with a hey. Wow, I never knew that, I never paid attention to that. Unbelievable. It was kedai to wake up today just to learn that insight. That there are two different no. Aleph.
Just like no, right. Even on
with an aleph?
Noah, meaning priest.
Yeah.
With an aleph.
Yeah, but he's saying
so
no.
Noah is the same as.
Right, all Noah, right. So all Noah and Noah are obviously very much related.
It's in the same passage. Noah, Shem, Oshi,
Noah. No. Okay, so we have to analyze this. Okay, we're going to analyze this. But once you mention the other honor in Tilim, you know the famous Maisa with the Sfasemes, or maybe it was his grandfather, the Chidush Erim, I don't remember, I think it was the Sfasemes. He told the Hasidim that this year on Sukkot, when you say Halal, and when you say honor Hashem, if you say it with the full Kavanah, I guarantee you, you'll get whatever you want. The heaven will open up. So it came davening the whole, every living creature came out of their hole. They came to Shul. How when the Shliach Tzibur got up to honor Hashem Hoshiyana, there was thunder and lightning. The people in Shul honor Hashem, the Rebbe. The Grace Rebbe said that if you say honor Hashem with all of your kach, I guarantee you can get whatever you want. And there was Koyloi Subrakim when they all said honor Hashem Hoshiyana before honor Hashem's. The year went by and guess what? Nothing happened. It's business as usual. The same Looney Tunies out there in the world were doing all the crazy things. Nothing changed. Everything was the same. No one was successful any more than ordinary. So they went back to the Sfasemes and said, Rebbe, you told us. So tell me, so they started asking, tell me, what exactly do you have Kavanah when you said the honor? And they said, honor Hashem, Oshiyana, we bought this. No! But I told you, honor Hashem is honor Hashem ki ani avdecha. You got it all wrong. I didn't mean the Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. Ono Hashem Kini Avdecha. I am your servant. You too little, too late. You all messed it up. Okay, that's a famous story. It's a famous story. Ono Hashem. Now let's take a look over here at the four honors of the Mitzvah Tzavit. So Mitzvah Tzavit again is on page 107. 107 ad honor ad mosaye nod umitul until when ad until honor when. So it seems over here according to the mitzudos, we'll go one thing at a time, okay, one more first at a time. The mitzudos learns when. The word here honor means when. Until when will I be nod umitul, will be a wanderer. Nod
in other
so,
words, how long?
How long? So when you put the two words together in English, ad honor, how long? Ad until, no, the literal translation, lefi the mitzudai stavit in this context with the hey is when. Until when will I be a, from the context we're adding in the words, a wanderer. V'chi sishkocheni netzach, and will you forget me, and will you forget me forever, ad ono Hashem tishkochein netzach. V'chi, he adds in a word into the pasuk that it does not say. V'chi, will it really be Hashem that you will forget me forever? How long will David, according to the Mitzvah study, he's really learning the reference to David. David was wandering. David was running from, well, I'm assuming that we're continuing the same story of Shaul. He's a refugee. He's running from place to place. How long will this continue? Will you forget me forever? Next, Oshis Eitzos, Osim Eitzos Eich Lihimolet Min Hayogon Asher Bilvavi Kol Hayom. How long will I have to look into myself and find a solution to be released from my sorrow? So this is a very powerful translation. Oshis Eitzos, a person does not want to suffer. It is the human condition that a person does not want to suffer. If the person finds there are people out there who are very sick, and part of their sickness is they enjoy suffering. They want to be in a state of tzar. They can't deal with joy. A Litvak, they have the hayno, the hano, they love. I told someone at Shalva Shuz, I says, the Litvaks, they cannot deal with an ibiyar. It's hard enough to have one adar. Double adar, they go out of their mind. The Litvaks have this condition where they just like the Hana. Why do they say? Why do you sing the nigun of Vir Shusha Novoicha? Why do you sing in the nigun of Eicha? You want to give the Litvaks also a little simcha. You want to give them a little Hana also. They love Miz. They want to give them a little Hana for everyone. Give them also. Throw them a bone. This is a joke, but it's not a joke, unfortunately. It's not a joke for everyone. Some people have this, they thrive on. That's a sickness. That's mamish sickness over here. And the Mitzvah stuff, the Mitzvah stuff over here is coming to bring that out by saying, the Mitzvah stuff over here is saying is, a person does not want to be in such a state, and therefore, a person naturally is always trying to find a way out, a solution to be released from yogoin, from misery. Again, the Mitzvah says, "Ad ono oshis etzos osim etzos." I will set in my mind ideas, plans to be released from a state of misery. That's natural and that's normal. Eichli malet min hayagoyim asher belavi kol hayom. I suffer the entire day. Next words of the Mitzvah David on the next page, page 108. Habita re'ezu aniva adin. Hashem, please gaze, look at my suffering and answer me. Ha'iwa enai, lighten up my eyes. L'hishakem be'etza mo'eles linaslam yad ha'oyev. Enlighten me with solutions. Inspire me with plans, ideas how to escape the evil person, the evil people. Kipen e'yenil kovyodoy, lest I be captured in his hand. V'ishan she'na samavis, I will die. Ki yabed nafshi will kill me. Pasuk hey pen yomar im loy lamani asay pen yomar hoyev yicholtiv. Now over here is another idea that asay laman something else. We have this many times in davening we say, "Kol Shvarach Hu, please save us. If not for our sake, do it for your sake. Laman shimcha, do it for your sake. It should be yichil Hashem. We don't deserve it, but it's necessary that your name should not be defiled." Here is the same exact principle. Hashem, if you're not going to save me because I deserve it, at least don't give the enemy something that they do not deserve. They do not deserve to gloat over their success. They don't deserve it. So do it just for that. Pen yema im lo lamani asei pen yema ha'ev yichol. I have overcome. Yichol. I had the ability to overcome him. V'rama yodi, my hand prevailed upon me. V'tzorai. They should not, my enemy should not say, yismichu kasher eye noite lipol ma'aretz, when I'm tilting, I'm about to fall. Do not give them the pleasure in watching my decline. V'ani me'olam kasher batachu b'chaska ho'yo li yisamech b'da yeshua haba mumcha. And now David goes back to the past. In the past, whenever I had trouble, I had faith in your kindness, and my heart was joyous in the salvation that came from you. Ashul dam ata, now ashul Hashem kasher digmol olai chaster. Now also, he's pledging. According to the Mitzvah David, Ashul Hashem ki gomal olai is a pledge. It's a promise. Hashem, if you will save me, I will then. Not now. Now the salvation did not happen. But when you will save me, I pledge in advance to sing Shira. Gam ato, now, Ashul Hashem kasher, when, yigmol olai chasta. It appears that it's a pledge. I will thank you, Hashem, when you bring salvation. Period. Okay. So that concludes the parish of the Mizmor and this entire Mizmor. Now let's say with Rashi. Rashi, at Ona, very few Rashi in the entire Mizmor. Back on page 106 at Ona, Arba'a pamim keneged Arba'a malchuyos. Okay, we look at the Mefarshim, the other Mefarshim in more detail to go through the Dal Malchus here in the Pasuk. But Rashi, right away, he opens up the Medrashim by telling us that this Mizmor, Yigimel, is a critical Mizmor, in that this Mizmor is going to dwell upon the four Malchus. The Dalid Malchus, which are commonly are assumed to be Bavel, is the first. The second is a team. It's Paras Umadai. The third is Yavan. And the fourth is what we are in now, Edom. Okay? Four Malchus.
What
times
did
you
go?
Look at Adon. The word Adon appears four times. Pasuk Abez. Adon Hashem. Tishkuch Netzach. Number two, Adon Tazteres Penachemed. Number three, Adon Oshus Eitzes. What?
I have a feeling the portion of Rashi is barely touching it,
because
you might ask, where did you get this?
The Medrash.
What's the connection between these?
Okay, so we're going to discuss it. One thing we're going to get. Rashi breaks
over
the
sugya. It's interesting that the whole time Rashi talk says that the Mizmorim is about David himself, about his personal. And here, right. About the nation.
You're saying very good. You're saying very good.
Out of line. It shows that it's both right. He can sing for both. for myself and for my nation.
Exactly.
Kind of, that's what in poetry you can have that.
Right. Rashi from the Parshanim is probably the most inconsistent. In the Chumash especially, that was Rashi. We always mention Rashi when he wrote the Sefer, we always saw he wrote on Unkelus. But Rashi, besides writing on Unkelus, he did something that's very different than all the people of his generation. All the Mefarish, all of the Pashtonim, those who say the Pshat and the Pasuk of his generation before were thoroughly consistent. When you read the Pesukim, some of the Mefarshim, they translated every Pasuk literally. As literal as possible. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Don't put a stone on the floor in front of a blind person walking down the street. And everything, all of the stories in Chumash, they translate it literally. Other Mefarshim, they translate everything as a metaphor. The words are just concepts. The metaphors, everything is just symbolism, metaphors. And they go through the entire Torah, consistently learning Sukkim as more of a in the world of symbols and metaphors. All the Mefarshim, they would read the Sukkim in a Kabbalistic approach. Every Mefarish had their Mahalich, and they were consistent. Rashi was a trailblazer, in that Rashi says, you know something? Sometimes when we read the Pasuk, the primary understanding of the Pasuk is the simple literal translation. But sometimes, no. The basic way to understand the Pasuk is to view the Pasuk as a metaphor. And that's Pshat. He always says this. Pshat does not mean the literal translation. Pshat means the interpretation that fits best into the words. Sometimes the interpretation that fits like a glove into the words is the symbolic approach, the metaphor approach. And sometimes the best pshat, the best interpretation that fits into the words is the literal approach. But I'm inconsistent. 3 psukim ago, I said it to be taken literally, like this mefarish, and this pasuk. I'm saying like the other mefarish. I'm saying it's more of a metaphor. How could you be inconsistent? Loibasi ela lefarish. This was a novel concept, and Rashi was under attack for doing this. You want to read Chumash, you have to be consistent in life. We all know that in life, that's the most important thing. You look at people that are not consistent, they're not predictable, that's a sign of mental illness. A person has to be a person that's a stable person. A stable person is almost basically predictable to a degree. And that obviously every situation is different, but it's a healthy state of being to be consistent to a degree where you're almost predictable in how you're going to behave in any given situation. But to vacillate between this and this and this, that's a wildkeit. That's not a healthy approach to life. Yet, Rashi says, in learning Chumash, you have to go and you have to know when to understand a Pasuk with this approach and when to look at a Pasuk that goes. So Rav Kamalavi is taking note that we have been Rashi until now, all of these last Mizmarim, has been thoroughly consistent in translating the words in reference to David HaMelech's own personal life. David HaMelech was in hot pursuit by Shaul and his people, and he did quote Midrashim. You can't say he didn't quote Midrashim. He did quote Midrashim and mention other ideas, but there's a certain basic Mahalach, and here Rashi is breaking with that and is telling us that this Mizmor is not to be understood necessarily in that approach, but rather we're going to go with purely the Pshat that fits the interpretation of this Mizmor that fits best into the literal words, if the words are the Midrashic approach. That this Mizmor is a reference to David HaMelech, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, seeing the future of the Jewish people. They're going to experience 4 stages of Golus: Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavan, and Golus Edom. And he's coming to be mispalel to Hashem, and Hashem should help us get through these difficult times. Golus of Bavel, how long did it last for? 70 years. Bavel is Nebuchadnezzar and the Kasdim. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That Tekufa lasted for 70 years. Then Bavel was defeated by Modai. And Modai and his son-in-law Koresh, Dayovish HaModi, and his son-in-law Koresh, they took the world stage, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. They allowed it to be rebuilt, and they stopped, they rebuilt it again. The story of Purim was Paras HaModi, and that era that era was a short era. Was 52 years, I believe. Was 52 years. That was the whole period, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
The whole Golus of Paras HaModi was 52 years from beginning to end, and then entered onto the world stage Yavon, Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, how long did he last for? 180 years. Him and his, after he died really very, very quickly, relatively young.
Yeah.
And then it was Malchus was divided into three parts. And that they extended their hand upon Klal Yisrael for a total, starting with his arrival with Alexander the Great, all the way until until the end of his Malchus, for 180 years. And then came Edom. Edom rose to power. They took the world stage, and we're still in Edom. We're still in Edom. It's in 1,953 years since the Churban Bayis Sheni. But Edom already was on the world stage way before that. Edom already had their claws in the Beis HaMikdash many more years. I don't know exactly how you make the calculation of 180 years, after 100 years. Basically, Edom has been with us over 2,000 years, plus more than 2,000 years. Even though it's been from the Churban Bayis HaMikdash, 53 years now, according to our calculation. There are many different challenges to the calendar. There are many different exactly how many years really has it been since the Churban. There's some missing years. How to reconcile Jewish history with secular account. That's a different topic of discussion, but generally the number that is accepted today is 1,953. But when you want to talk about the rise of Golus Edom, it's more. Gotta go look up that number. Gotta look up the number exactly what the number is, but it's well over 2,000 years of Golus Edom. And here we have a reference to these four difficult stages of Jewish history. And David HaMelech of Israel has been mispalled in the Vedic and the Sprach, he should save us from all four. And obviously the word that he's going to be, that he's choosing up here, refer to each one. In reference to the first, Arana, Tishkocheni, is Golus Bavel. Golus Bavel, in the words of David, described as Hashem is forgetting us, Netzach. It was viewed as a tishkocheni netzach, an incredible intensity of forgetting. The galus of Paras HaModi is hester ponim. The anoichi hester astir ponai bayoy mahu. That's what we say in reference to Purim. And it's exactly what it's over here in this mizmah. The second adon is tastir es ponecha mimeni. When it comes to the Golus of Yavon, what is the terminology that is used of in the Mizmar? Oshis Eitzois Dinashi Yogoin Bilavavi Yoimam. This is Golus Yavon. Yavon is where we are continuously trying to outsmart them. You play the dreidel. They wanted to prevent us from learning Torah. So we have an Eitzah. A Yid, how do you say in Yiddish? A Yid has an Eitzah, always has a solution. You have an Eitzah that instead of learning Torah, we'll play dreidel. So when the government inspectors come to see what we're doing, we're gambling. We're gamblers. And really in disguise, they were learning Torah. And if you want to go learn, I'm sure somehow you can go and you can twist these words that refers to what the goyim are putting upon us, Eitzahs. They're making plans. Kisvu lechem al keren ashar. Any woman who gets married has a tiboil hegmon tchila. Laws, enactments. They make crazy rules in order to weaken us. All right. So the pshuta shall make according to the mitzudas. David means other pshat. He said the goyim are coming after us. And David is saying, I, representing Klal Yisrael, are looking for solutions.
Right.
We are looking to find a solution how to avoid the Eitzah. But you can also dash, I'm sure some dash we'll see in a few moments, is it's like Lashon Sagenar. It's lashon sageinar. You don't want to say. You don't want to say what's really going on. So instead, David he turns it on himself. How long will I have to set solutions? But why does he saying in grammar? Why is it grammatically incorrect? Because you don't want al tiftach tel l'sata. Bris kerusa l'sfasayim. The daf yomi 2 days ago. Bris kerusa l'sfasayim. So you don't want to say how long will the goyim will they scheme, plot, plan, enact laws that what was it in Germany? What were those laws called?
The Nuremberg
laws. That the Jews, you can't do business with the Jews, and the Jews are this, you can't do all these laws. They make eitzos. That's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that in the time of Yavan, that's exactly what the government did the whole day. Yavan, every Jew has to ride on their animal. Ein lachem chelik v'lokei Yisrael. Any woman who gets married, the law, it's the law. You bring the bride to the hegemon. You bring the bride to the governor. Okay, they made enactments. So you don't want to say exactly what's going to happen because al tiftach pel l'satan. So instead of saying how long will it be that our enemy will plan, will scheme and enact gezeros upon us and put in our neshama yogoin b'levavi yoimam continuously, day after day after day, it only gets worse and worse. So instead of saying it about the way it really happened, which would be tiftach pel l'satan, we switch it and we say, I will make the plans. In other words, we will plan their demise. You get into your truck and you go down the road. We will, instead of you planning on us, we'll plan against you. Okay, so this
in
is...
In the world you are going, you have your van there.
Oh, you fantastic. You see, you have a Kalman. Kalman is always on the mark. You're going is the same letters of Yavan. Yud, Vav, Nun.
It's hidden.
So it fits very well. You see what he's saying over here about Eliezer? Leader friend is saying a very big word. The whole pasuk is a euphemism. Yavan is choshech. And here it says the word yoimam. Instead of it saying they will set counsel upon us, it's oshis, it's all part of the entire. Every word over here is just the opposite. It's just the opposite. That they. What? Okay, there are many explanations, but along this idea that really this is just said b'loshon sage nohar. So instead of they planning against us, what's really happening, so we say b'loshon sage nohar, we make the etzos, and instead of saying it, they bring upon us darkness, we use the word yomam, daylight, because what is Yavan all about? Choshech al pnei sohaim, another chapter in Rechol's book. The first pasuk in Bereishis. Right, the first part of the Bereishis alludes to the Dalam Malchus. So when it says the word Choshech, it was Choshech al Pnei HaTohoim, Choshech, Chazal Da'ashin, Zu Yavan, darkness, to black out the light of Hashem. So maybe you can suggest that this whole expression here is B'loshon Sage Nohar. It's a euphemism to what really is going on. Okay, I'm sure there's more. And then the last expression of what is going on today, Ad Ono Yorum Oivi Oloi. The essence of Golos Edom is they're elevated. Yorum is Rome. Excellent. Wow. See, unbelievable. We have Chidushim here, flying lavish, flying through the air. Everyone over here is in Mechashi over here. A whole Sefer over here. From the Kailo Boker.
If you switch the letter,
Romi. Wow. Romi. Yogoin is Yavoin. It's the letters of Yavoin. And so now you have to go backwards. You have to be Mashal Devart. Go back. What do you see? What do you see? Paras Amod in the word Tastir as Panecha Mimeni. Panecha. Paras. Where's the Paras? Paras. Tastir and Panecha. Put those words together.
Tastir is Esther.
But that's the solution. And what about that's Modai. And where's Paras? Paras is the pay of the Panecha and the Samach and the Resh. Mm. Paras. Go back. Or whatever. Okay. And what about Bavel? Where do you find Bavel in Tishlochin Netzach? Where do you see Bavel? In the words, Ad Ona Hashem Tishkocheni Netzach. Will you forget me for Netzach? That alludes to the Golus of Bavel. Bavel in the Kastim. To forget. Where do you find the word there, Bavel? You have to find some connection to Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, I'm game. I'm game. Okay, Netzach is Nebuchadnezzar. Netzar. Okay? We have a lot of chidushim here, that's for sure. Okay. So these are the Dan. It's just interesting. What's relevant? What is the most relevant for us? Is Edom. And Edom is very Yalum Oivili, and it's so true. What is the main essence of what we are today? In the last 2,000 years, the Jews, what are the Jews? We're lowly people. The Goyim, we're not players in this world. We're always subject. You see how the prime ministers. What did I tell you about? Who said this? What did I tell you? Which prime minister was it? I forgot. What is the job, the most important job of the prime minister of Israel? So you'll say, defense. Netanyahu always says, he used to always say that. The defense. My primary mission here is security of the Jewish people. This is what I'm here for. Everything else is tafel. The ikur is, but there was another prime minister, maybe it was Rabin, I don't remember which one it was, who says, you know what the primary job of an Israeli prime minister is? Is to keep the American president happy. To make him happy. Because we need America. We need them so bad. We need them in many different ways. We need their money. We need their protection. We need their policies to keep us safe and secure here. The Prime Minister of Israel has to take a course on how to make the American president happy camper. Because we are subject to the goodwill of the Umay Sa'ilam. The Goyim are always Yorum. They're always on top of us. We're always the underdog. We're always a subordinate to them. We're not in the position of autonomy, of we don't have real power. Everything that we do has this permission. Before Israel bombed Lebanon, did they ask permission? Before they went into Syria, did they ask permission? Before they go do something in Egypt, did they ask permission? It's always, you gotta get permission from the American government. Yeah, no, this, that, back and forth, the secrets they tell you, they don't tell you. Everything's a conspiracy theory, this and that. The essence of the Jews in Galus Edom is there's always someone on top of us. We always have to look up to our master and get their goodwill and their permission to survive. Okay, are we
I've got all this before. Maybe bubble is not included here.
Okay.
We knew how long the Gullus bubble will be.
Okay.
Right. So it would be appropriate to say
You're saying it's a very fascinating idea. He's saying so that you're saying because from all of the four Goliaths, the one that we knew exactly how long it would last was a Bavel, because it says both two Nevi'im said this, Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Both Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, they both said 70 years. They both said 70 years. So we knew.
So
two answers. So maybe in a Hanami, maybe you go learn look at all these concepts. Maybe everything is being written in the Lashon Sagi Nohar. The same way when we just said a drush ad on the Oshis Eitzois Benafshi, I will set. What do you mean I will put? The Goyim, the Yevanim are the ones who are scheming against us. So I'm saying Lashon Sagi Nohar. They're doing it, but we don't want to be tiftach bel l'sadeh. Yoimam b'levavi yoimam. It wasn't only b'levavi. Interesting. Also b'levavi. Only in my heart. It was my body. Okay. They wanted to be mevatel bris milah. Okay. This is not just in the heart. They wanted to make physical change. So a woman who gets married had tibol hegmon tchila. It wasn't just my heart. Yoimam yavon is choyshech. Not daylight. Everything is the opposite as a code. So maybe Enoch and Abi, when it comes to Bavel, it's precisely because Bavel, the Zman, was exactly 70 years. So we're saying it is a euphemism of you're forgetting me forever. What do you mean forever? From all of the Malchios, the Dalai Malchios, the one that is not from, the one that is preset with precision, is Bavel. So maybe even that is being said B'Lashon Saginar. Or what we can say is, what it says in the Gemara in Megillah, is no one knew how to calculate the 70 years. Everyone made a mistake. Baal Shetzar made a mistake. And then Achashverosh made a mistake. And there was someone else who made it. Who's the third one who made the mistake? Maybe it was Baal Shetzar made the mistake. There was a third person. Maybe it was Koresh who made the mistake. There was more than three people. Baal Shetzar made a mistake. He took out the caliph of the Beis HaMikdash. Then Achashverosh made a mistake. And then there was someone else who made a mistake also. There was no, I forgot the exact one. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Okay, but maybe that was part of the mystery. And Lenetzach is, even though indeed it sets 70, yeah, go figure it out. What exactly is the 70? It's always that all the things that we think that we know nothing. For example, when we had a holding of the Yud Gimel Midos Sorachanim. Right, the number 13 is not such a big number. You can count the 13. Most people can still count the 13. So if you count the 13, what is so hard to figure out? What are the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim? It's a pasuk. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Nechan, Erech, Hapai, Rav Chesed. Guess what? If you open up the Mefarsh, there are at least about 10 Perushim, 10 different ways to calculate the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. And that's why we say the whole pasuk from beginning to end, because we can't figure it out. Even though there are 13, we have a Mesoira, there are 13 Midas of Rachamim, try to figure out how to break it up. Is Hashem Hashem 1 meter, is it 2 meters? Is the break up, I mean, there are many Perushim. What are the Taryag mitzvahs? So no one agrees. You have the Rambam, and you have the Ramban, and you have the Smag, and the Smak, and the Chinuch. You have many different opinions. What exactly are the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim? So just because you have a number, you have 70 years, Adarabba, when you define something, that's when you first have problems. When you think you're going to define something, then al admosai tishkocheni lonetzach. Okay, or you can say another idea, that the Golus of Bavel, it really is with us ad hayom hazeh. If you think about it, Golus Bavel came to an end after 70 years, right? They went back, they got permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they went back, they rebuilt. Did they ever really rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? No, they never rebuilt it. They built the Bayis Sheni. Was the Bayis Sheni, did it bring back the glory of the Bayis Rishon? Absolutely not. Chazal say the miracles that occurred in the Bayis Rishon never returned to the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni throughout its 420 years was a skeleton compared to the glory of the Bayis Rishon. It wasn't the same. So even though the 70 years came to an end and they were given permission to rebuild, but the truth is the damage of the Golus of Bavel lingers with us ad hayoim hazeh. So in this essence, maybe it's exactly, it's coming to tell you, don't fool yourself in thinking, yeah, 70 years. Rabbi Chol writes about it. Rabbi Chol writes, the Golus Edom is a conglomerate. Right? Golus Edom is not, oh, there is Bavel, goodbye. Paros HaModai, goodbye. Yavon, goodbye. Oh, Edom is Ponim Chadosh HaSpo L'Kan. Sheva Brachos, we can make a new bracha. Ponim Chadosh HaSpo L'Kan. No. You know what Edom is? The sum is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Edom is just add up 1, 2, 3, and it's not 4.
That's actually machlokus, and the big machlokus.
In Kant, right, in Hashkafa, what exactly
equal
is...
Equal or greater than?
Is it greater, but that's all part of it. So it turns out that really, Golus, Edom, don't make a mistake. So again, really, got three different answers. Either it's a euphemism, or it's the whole is greater than some of its parts, or it's even in the 70 years, if you cannot calculate it, you can't. It's a tease. You're teasing someone. 70 years. So what is the 70 years? Okay, we were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Yeah, figure that out. Where do you get 400 years? The Jews didn't know. Bnei Ephraim, they went out 30 years early. They risked their lives. So now, in hindsight, we say it started with Leidas Yitzchak. Leidas Yitzchak. What does that mean exactly? So when you give numbers and you try to limit something, and you, in fact, you're making it more complex. Okay.
You okay?
I see
something else.
Yes.
Here. The first three is talking about Hashem and I.
Okay.
Hashem shokheach oti, paskir panav mimeni, and then yagol v'levavi. The last one, he talks directly to the enemy. Ad amai yagu oti alai. It's amazing that how it's daring to say that.
The lair and honor your room. Your room will they lift oivai oivi oloi? The first one, ad honor Hashem tishocheini, me. Ad honor tasir es panechami meni. Ad honor oshis eitzois benafshi. Very interesting. It's very, what you're saying is very interesting. Very interesting, right. So in a way, you're saying there's a greater Hester upon him. At least in the least, you know, imoy anoichi bitzara. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he punishes us, at least when we see him in front of us, punishing us, that itself is a necham, that we see him in front of us. When we talk about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're elevating our enemy, and we don't refer to Hashem in this matzav, in the first person, what you are doing to me, that's even more painful. Because there, to a degree, there's even a greater degree of hester upon him. I don't know, or you can say maybe the other way around, whatever. Okay, you're saying a very good point. Obviously, Golus Edom is so different than the other three exiles, and it's all here. In these few words over here, there are so many ideas just coming out here from the Kohel itself. So many different ideas. There's so many, it's jam-packed with concepts, and each of these words, David, with the most incredible precision, is defining the essence of the challenge that the generation had in that era of Jewish history. In two, three words, defining the essence of what the problem is. Rashi dal pen ishan amavis in number four. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu habita aneni Hashem Elokai. And after we mention the Dalam Alchios, David finishes off, only one more Rashi. Hashem, look at me. Habita, gaze at me. Aneni, habita is not a good word, it's not a happy word in certain way, because all the commentators, they say the same thing. There's a difference between the word habata and histaklos. Of what's the word in the short form? Of sikel. Mistakel means to gaze intently. A person is not allowed to look at a woman that's not his wife with his stakulus, to gaze at her features, to look at her very, very carefully. But habata, you can look at a woman, you could glance at a woman, you can talk to a woman, you can look at a woman, just don't go look at her in a way that is over the top. So when it says with habata, it just means a glance, a curious glance, not a analysis, a detailed, intense gaze, not a stare.
This Chazal said, "Habet mishamayim
u'ra'ei." Can
you lag materes b'avim? Habet mishamayim
u'ra'ei. Why only habet? Why only habet? So tafasta meruba loy tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Hashem, if you don't want to go and be mistakel and gaze intently at us, at least a habata, at least a little bit, habita, just a little bit. It's like an oni b'pesach, a glance, an oni b'pesach. Just give a little glance, you'll see what's going on, Hashem. You'll come to our rescue. Very good.
The bracha hamapil we have.
Yeah.
Ha'er einai pen
ishan hamoves. Excellent. The nusach hatzvila is always drawing from the words of the Nevi'im. And ksuvim, because when a person goes to sleep, Chazal say it's 1/60th of death. What does that mean exactly? 1/60th of death, and here exactly when the person Hashem gaze, aneni answer Hashem elokai ha'ira enai, enlighten my eyes. When the eyes are enlightened, this is the symbol of life. Because pen ishan hamavis, I may fall into a slumber of death. Rashi. Death is called a long sleep. The Yashnu, it says in Yirmiyah, they will sleep a shenas oilam, a sleep forever. That's a code word for death. Okay, now let's see over here the Radak. It's very short Radaki. This is just let's just get a little glimpse of the Radak explaining over here some of these ideas. we'll just do what we can do for a few moments. Pasuk on page 107. There's some very powerful things here. And that the Dalid Malchia. So it's really the Minchas Orev, which we'll have to do soon. That's very, very good here. Minchas Erev, not Minchas, Minchas Erev, not Orev, Minchas Erev. First, the Radak, page 107. Lam Sech Mizmol David, Zah Mizmar, Amore David Be'ez, Shohoye B'Sar Me'oivav. Okay, first he says, like a continuation, when David was on the run, he said this in reference to his enemies. However, Oy Ne'mar, al Lishoin HaGolos. What does it mean, Lishoin? What does that mean, the Lishoin of Golos? The language of Golos? The terminology of Golos? Okay, that sounds like he's saying something very deep here. Okay, there's something very deep going on in this expression. The Lashon, the language of Golos. In Golos, we have a different language. We speak different ways, different code. Amcha. Okay, that's a word that's a Golos word. Think about that word. You ever hear that expression?
No, he's not talking. He's talking to the Galut Shel David. He says either Oyvim Shelo or Hagalut Shelo. Because he was running.
But that's the first shot. Look at the Radak. Zeh haMizmor Amorei David be'Eishai b'Tzara me'Oivav. Period. Oy Ne'mar al Lashon HaGolos. I think it was referring to what Rashi says. Ra the Dalid Malchios, the Golos of Klal Yisrael.
Because he's going to continue.
Ad Ono. Let's see. Let's go further. Beis Ad V'Hu Anochoin. That is correct. The Lashon HaGolos. Now, what is it? Let's go further. Beis Ad Ono. Kmo Ad Mosai. Ad Ono means until when. The word Ono here means when. Tishkocheni Lefi She Tanicheni. Biyad oivai ze kama shanim yemu ho umois ki shechachtani o yodea ato bi'onyi. So he's saying that because you have abandoned me for so many years, this is with the Christian theology. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us for so many years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgotten about us and he has exchanged us for another nation. Oy yodea ato bi'onyi v'tastir ponechu, or you know about my problems. Now he's weaving all four together. He's weaving together all four as one continuous statement. You know what's going on. When you call out, when we dive into Hashem, he does not listen. In the other way around, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he calls out to us. He begs us through the Nevi'im to do teshuva, and we do not listen. Mida k'neged mida. When we will call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will not listen to us. Over here, he's telling us a very basic principle from Zechariah, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not listen to us, this is mida k'neged mida. Very often, Hashem calls out to us, and we are stubborn. We close our ears. So when we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also will punish us, mida k'neged mida. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mida k'neged mida. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'fi shamarti arba pavim ad ona. Now here is an incredible medrash he's citing.
This is the starting point of the medrash.
This is the medrash, is that it says four times in Chumash, Hashem says to the Jewish people through Moshe, Ad Ono Me'antem Lishmar Kukosai V'Soy Roy Soy. When did Hashem say this? Hashem said this by the Mon, when they went out on Shabbos to gather the Mon. I told you, there's not going to be Mon. There's not going to be. I gave you on Friday a double portion. There's not going to be Mon. Ad ono yinatsuni amazeh. When did they say that? When are they going to anger me? When was that said? I don't remember. Yinatsuni. By what?
Meraglim.
The Meraglim. The ad
on. These two are by.
Okay. Mayor. We hear from Eretz Yisrael. We hear the noise. The kol shofar. The call of the kindelach and Eretz.
It's black outside. We found the lights from the buildings lighting up. How are you?
Okay, let's finish. Give me one moment. Let's finish up. We'll finish. Give me one moment. Let's finish over here. V'ad ono yinatsu yamazeh. It's the Meraglim HaMechol, yeah? Number three, v'ad ono lo yaminu bi. What is that?
Also.
That's also the Meraglim?
Yeah.
V'ad ono lo yaminu bi. Ad mosai lo edo haro hazois.
Well, that's the Meraglim, we know.
Okay, so there are three from the Meraglim. It's very important because I want to suggest to you that each one of these four corresponds is the roots of the Dalam Alchias. If these four add on, so I'm trying
to. Two of them are in one pasuk.
Okay.
To do with the Meraglim, and then those three are in the Meraglim.
Okay, you have to really add because I want to suggest after you have to do more research is that if we have this principle and honor, the four add ons that we refer to Dalam Alchias. And he obviously, we just spent a whole hour on this. You see clearly that these four expressions correspond to the four Malchios. And now we're saying it's Mida, Kinegin, Mida of the four times when Hashem begged us, Ad Ana. Then those expressions of Ad Ana in the Torah already is where the root of the Dalet Malchios was germinating. And when you study the first time by the Shabbos, the Mon, Ad Ana. Ad-ono loy me'antem, that's already Golus Bavel. Golus Bavel is rooted in the fact that Klal Yisrael did not observe the Shabbos the way they were supposed to. Then Parasu Modai is there. You divide the Meraglim into three parts. There are three different expressions. So we need to analyze this, make a drasha, and analyze homiletics, a course of homiletics. You take the four times it says here, Ad-ono, Ad Ana in this Mizmor, which Chazal clearly tells us refers to Dalet Malchios, and we can see with our own eyes the different expressions referring to Dalet Malchios. And now this Medrash is telling us that the four Ad Anas here is Mida, Keneged the four times that Hashem said to the Jewish people Ad Ana. The first time is in reference to the Mon. They went out on Shabbos to collect Mon when they were told that on Shabbos there's not going to be Mon, and that's why they were given in advance. And then the next three times are different elements of the miracle. And the miracle is obviously a very complicated parasha, and there's no repetition in the Torah. And each ad-ona that's said by the miracle is coming to express a different dimension of the rebellion of the Jewish people, not wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael. And if we were to go into that parasha and decipher and analyze what all the commentators say, we would certainly have a revelation of the depth of the different dimensions of rebellion that the Jewish people expressed at that time, and that would certainly be correspond to the three latter Golios of Parasu Modai, Yavon, and Edom. Okay, that's the technique of homiletics. Kach ani osil limsor eschem bi'ar arba malchus.
So that's the Mida Keneged
Mida.
Hashem is the one who
said Ad Ono. And now, now we say to Hashem Ad On exactly. The attempt it's Sakulufonai Arbopam Ad On Hashem Tishukhini Netzach Bavel Ad On Tasis Ponechim Veni Modai Ad On Oshis Eitzes Benavshi Biyovon Ad On Yarum Oivi Olai Beedoim. Okay, so this is the basics. So, Yerushalayim, tomorrow we're going to get this more Gimel Dal. We have to finish the Mizmar. Spend at least another day on this. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Adar Rishon. We have this year a unique year. This year is unique for two reasons. It's Adar, a double Adar, and it's also Shemitah. Shemitah year that has a double Adar. Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes.